Well, thanks, Paul. I'm here today with Stefan Chanet. He's the CEO of a San Diego-based company called Attack IQ, and very, very big in a very popular space today, which is the internet and security. So, welcome to the show, Stefan.
Thank you, Jim.
So, take a couple minutes and tell people who you are and what you're doing, what you're about.
Sure. So my name is Stefan Chanet. I'm the CEO of Attack IQ. I've been in the cybersecurity industry for more than 15 years. Most of that existed here in San Diego. I led the R&D research and development team at WebSense. I ran research and consulting at IOActive. We focused on everything from the security of defibrillators and heart monitors to vehicle security. So throughout the last 15 years, I've focused very much on both understanding what attackers are doing in the real world and how to defend and how to detect them.
This is really, I think like every week something else gets attacked and there's all kinds of hackers going around. What are you seeing that's happening in the industry?
I think the largest change actually hasn't been technology. It's been the mentality of who's responsible for really making sure that the cybersecurity of a company is measurable, is understood, and is being proactive. And really where that responsibility is starting to lay is in the boards of companies. The board of directors now has cybersecurity as one of the main points of discussions quarterly in terms of what's the importance, what are we doing, how are we improving, where is our security posture, where are our gaps, and what are we doing about them? And you're seeing that in the news with the Office of Personnel and Management, OPM, mm-hmm. and the Senate hearings, and leadership and management actually losing jobs over not being responsible and due diligence to making sure that the organization was being proactive and had a mature security program. So one of the largest changes has been not in technology, but in the mentality is, people are getting fired. Leadership is getting fired, and because of that, you'll see more budgetary spending into making sure that these companies aren't the next Sony, aren't the next Target and Home Depot. I mean, when's the last time you essentially heard of a company not being breached in the news?
I think that's true. And you know, one of the things that I saw is I was checking around, looking at some things before we spoke. And in an interview last year, you were talking about how, in a lot of cases, what you were seeing was people buying one of everything and trying to put it together without actually having a comprehensive plan. Are you still seeing that?
Yeah, I absolutely. You know, when you think about a lot of the organizations that deal with credit card information, you look at PCI compliance. You look at regulatory standards. What you have to do as an organization, and if you don't do it, you'll be fined. And so in many cases, we see a lot of the organizations just doing the bare minimum, just to be marked compliant. And when they do that, oh, they need a firewall or a certain technology, and they buy one of them. Mm-hmm. But in fact, a lot of reports have come out from some very established and respected companies like Mandiant, and of all the cases that they responded to last year, and they're one of the companies that's always in the news. They were in the news, talk about some fairly famous Chinese hackers and Target. They actually noted that all the companies were PCI compliant. So all the companies they reacted to that had been breached were compliant with a lot of the standards, and they had done the bare minimum. They had bought one technology that allowed them to get the checkbox. But honestly, that's not enough anymore. And so what we're noticing is, there's always going to be the companies that essentially are just doing the check boxes, buying the technology that just meets the minimum requirements. One of this, one of that. It's kind of like going shopping in a grocery store where, you need milk and eggs. And you get, the kind of the basics, but you're really not going to the next level of what you should be doing and going above and beyond so that your organization is protected and is secure. And the only time that starts to change is when leadership starts to get fired, when they start losing their job. Then they actually start being more proactive. They start just not paying attention to only doing checkboxes, but what they actually should be doing.
So you actually said something a few minutes ago that sort of was very troubling to me when you were talking about your past experience. Because you think about things being, like Target getting hit or Sony getting hit. But when you start talking about, wireless devices for medical and somebody having the ability to go in and hack a system and actually turn something off or turn it down, that's actually pretty scary. Is there efforts in that area to be able to stop hacking?
Yeah, there's a lot of efforts. But what we have to realize is, as technology becomes a bigger part of our lives, there's going to be more discussions, both on the legislative side, but just in general in the communities, as to the concerns from a security perspective. When we think of us just driving a car, it's no longer a car. We're driving a computer. Mm-hmm. And there are, I was mentioning earlier, a past company that I worked for, IoActive, they, had a great latest article in Wired magazine where they actually had hacked into a Chrysler. And the vehicle, it's great when you're driving the car and everyone can connect with their laptops, and their smartphones, because the car actually has wireless capability and can mm-hmm. connect to the internet. But at the same time, it makes it susceptible to connect to and potentially for attackers to actually take over and control. And so there's always going to be concerns with essentially more technology. You're opening up the potential for maliciousness.
Yeah, actually, that's one of the areas that's really expanding, because one of the things that's happening in terms of the way people are consuming content is they want their car to be their own little Wi-Fi hub so that they can start streaming content in that they want to listen to. So, there's whole industries being built around the fact that things like AM/FM radio and satellite radio are going to go away, because the driver or the passengers are going to be able to have their own content coming in and streaming it in and listening to it, or if you're in the front seat, or watching it if you're in the back seat. So I think this is going to be just an even bigger problem now that I hadn't really thought about the security aspects of it, but that's actually a pretty good point. So how big do you think the industry is nowadays?
I couldn't put a number to it in terms of, the financial numbers are out there. I don't have them on mm-hmm. hand, but in terms of the number of individuals that are entering into the workforce, being responsible, even if it's a portion of their job, that security is a part of it, it's growing, if you're a developer for, say, a baby monitor, mm-hmm. in many cases, security is going to be a portion of what you're thinking. If you're not just developing a baby monitor that's connected now to the internet, right. Security is going to be part of that development cycle of what you're, what you're developing, how you're developing it, how it's being, checked in terms of quality assurance. And so security is becoming a larger part of everything. It's not just now, security used to be the afterthought. We've developed a product, we've developed a process, and then let's think about security. Now it's actually become a part of everything. Any type of product that you can think of, essentially security has to be a concern. And that's actually allowing us to have more knowledgeable security engineers, more knowledgeable security managers, and bridging the lines between the business and mm-hmm. essentially the technology, and making sure that it's communicated effectively.
One of the there's two audiences essentially for this radio show, and one of them happens to be investors. So, what would you like to tell investors that they should be thinking about in terms of the security, and what should they be looking for when they're looking at evaluating either products or companies that they might be interested in?
Security is extremely a hot market right now, and there are a lot of companies that are being very innovative, coming out with disruptive technology. And there are a lot of companies that are obviously coming out with technology that already exists, but improving it. It's actually more difficult than ever to make to distinguish what type of company to invest in. Is this mm-hmm. a company that truly has disruptive technology? Is this a company that, has entered into a market that already exists? And if so, how are they different? What value are they providing to the customer that doesn't already exist? And because it's technology, it's truly, we can speak all day long about what we think we're doing different, but truly, when you get down to it and you can talk to the customers about how is it different from a pure value perspective. How is it making them more secure? How is it helping them to make better decisions? In the last 12 months, how have they made better decisions because of this new security technology? There are a lot of choices right now for customers. And going back to the point that customers are buying one of everything, in many cases, it's sometimes because they don't even have time to figure out what is different from one another. And so they're rushing and they're installing it and they're buying it, but they're not taking the 6 to 12 months to actually figure out sometimes what is the best technology, what is the best brand vendor for their unique needs and their value that they can get out of this technology. So for investors, I think it's a difficult time to differentiate, but it's really talking to customers and helping customers, like allowing customers to guide them to understand the differences between existing technology that's improving and really the technology that's really disruptive.
Yeah, I was just reading something. I'm trying to remember which blog it was on, but it was for, I don't know, maybe strategy and business, but they were talking about how it's very possible that customer reviews is the next 360 evaluation for people. That people are going to start looking at what are your customers saying about you. Forget about what employees are saying about each other, because it's you really need to get the customer input on it. It is very interesting. Now, the other thing that seems like would be different is, I'm one of these people that when I'm looking at investment, I'm looking at the management team, and I think the management team is critical in because I don't think that I've run into any place where I've seen a company fail because of a bad technology. It's usually because the management team can't get together. But it seems like in an evolving industry like this, you probably also have to pay attention for who's the technical team here that's developing these things, and how is all that happening? And I don't think as investors we really look at it, but we do in due diligence, but up front when you're sort of evaluating things, I don't think that we look at it that clearly. How do you think about it?
Yeah, I mean, it's really easy to judge a company by its executive team. I think that's the face that you're going to talk to. That's the face that represents the company. So it's much easier to judge a company by its executive team, but I think that's not an accurate way to judge the company. Right. I think, obviously, I go back to the fact that the customer and the value to the customer is, and that truly is brought to the customer in many cases by the technology itself, which is then translated and transferred to the customer typically through the engineers that can communicate effectively. So you have a lot of ability to really talk to the engineers and how can they communicate to the customers? How have they communicated to the customers? And how have the customers actually reacted to the value that is being provided to them? And in many cases, the executive team is making some extremely strategic decisions, and it's excellent at a level that once the companies are starting to grow, but at a startup that is truly introducing disruptive technology, the core engineering team is extremely important because they're actually building the value that's being provided to the company, the customers. And there's more security companies than ever before. And so you have to have an extremely competent technical team that can also communicate effectively with the customers to make sure along the way that they haven't just built a product that's taken 2 years to provide the customer, but along the way, they've been very agile in providing that value to the customers, responding and understanding feedback, pivoting, and then obviously continue to provide more feedback. And a strong engineering team can do that. And obviously it takes strong leaders within that engineering team.
So let's sort of look at this a little bit differently now. Let's suppose that you were wildly successful with this and you get bought out at some ridiculous multiple and all of a sudden you have a pile of cash and you put a big bunch of it away so you'll be able to do whatever you want to do, including possibly start other businesses. But there's some portion of it that you would go in and start to invest into this area. What are the areas inside secure computer security, internet security, would you be looking at today?
Yeah, I think we talk about the Internet of Things. All devices connected to all things all the time. Yeah. I think that in terms of or market right now, that's an extremely obvious point for us as technologists, but maybe not always to investors, that we're all paying attention to, we're all focused on, that regardless of what area that we focus on in cybersecurity, that Internet of Things is a part of what we're doing. Even if it's smartphones, I mean, if it's devices, it's something that we're all connected to. So that is a huge area of focus. In general, it's also the cloud, and mm-hmm. by that, what I mean is essentially you no longer have companies that are operating all their own infrastructure, all their own machines, all their own computers. They are a part of Microsoft's Azure. Mm-hmm. Amazon's, EC2 and S3 infrastructure, and so there's going to be much more focus on a lot of the companies that are utilizing a lot of the aspects of the cloud in extremely interesting ways. And then lastly, it's the social aspect. When you see companies that are taking the payroll industry and. Mm-hmm. And companies like Zenefits coming out and taking it to an industry that's been existing for so long and making it extremely easy, where it was difficult before, make it extremely useful to connect a number of different accounts because it was never easy before to do that, and now it is. The interconnection of services and APIs, different companies, B2B, and there's a lot of companies that are coming out with a lot of services around that, and I think that's an extremely interesting area to focus on.
Yeah, I think it's great that you went to the Internet of Things. I had mentioned before we got onto the recording that I was listening to something from Peter Diamandis, and someone that I was listening to said, if you haven't heard his TED Talk, the last TED Talk he did, you should go listen to it. So I went over and listened to it, and he was talking about the Internet of Things, and how important it is. So you're thinking like Peter Diamandis. I don't know if that's good, bad, or indifferent, but it's actually okay. So what are the kind of things that you're looking for today with your company?
So Attack IQ has been focused for the last year and a half and building a disruptive technology that is really bringing the next generation of ways that companies can actually perform security testing and measure their security posture. Mm-hmm. And we've been focused on the last year and a half and in providing that value to early adopters and gaining feedback from a number of Fortune 100, Fortune 500, Fortune 1000 companies and pivoting because of that. Mm. And so the next year for us is really focused on growing our company, growing the technology, continuing to provide value to our customers, and then continuing to pivot as we grow. We've learned quite a bit in the last year and a half, and we've made some interesting choices, and a lot of those have been right, and some of those have been wrong, and we've pivoted. And it's about learning from some of those wrong decisions, so that we learn as quick as possible. And it's interesting for us because we didn't focus just on one market. We didn't just focus on finance, healthcare, energy. We actually focused on a number of different sectors, and we learned something from all of them, and that allowed us to make better decisions for the future. And so for us, our focus now is essentially growing our team, growing our technology, and essentially coming out of stealth by the end of the year to the beginning of next year with our offering and all of our early adopters behind us, mm-hmm. and the value that we've provided to them and being allowing them to be proponents of what we've done.
So obviously one of the things you're going to need to fuel this are resources. Are you finding it easy to find the resources that you need?
So we're based in San Diego. I'm originally from the East Coast. I lived in Connecticut, New York, and Boston. Huge technology hubs.
Right.
San Diego is a city that wants to be much more than it is. And because of that, it's growing. Because we have the want. And we're attracting more talent than ever before. I've been here. I moved to California in 2000. Lived in Orange County for about 5 years and then came down to San Diego. So I've been here about 10 years. And what I've seen in the last 10 years is astounding. It's growing like I've never seen it before, And I attend a lot of the user group meetings, a lot of the technology meetup groups, a lot of the entrepreneurship meetup groups. And I see a lot of talent coming in, and it can't grow fast enough. There's more startups than I've ever seen before, more companies kind of blossoming here, and everyone wants to grab talent. Mm-hmm. We have great universities. You know, I went to grad school at University of California, San Diego, UCSD. And a lot of that talent is going up to the Bay Area, and a lot of that talent is staying here. And there just isn't enough, to be honest. And so, you know, it's growing, which is extremely positive. And most of our team is all based here in San Diego, but we have had to reach out to other locations. And mm-hmm. and we're helping to bring in essentially more talent in San Diego by hiring here. But we essentially can't hire or find talent fast enough. So, you know, we're really happy that more talent's coming in, and as they do, we're looking forward to them, you know, joining Attack IQ and our mission and our goals. And I'm also looking forward to being part of that mission. You know, I help out with Startup San Diego. I help out with a number of startup and entrepreneurship conferences that happen in San Diego to help attract that talent, to make sure that they're not just coming, individuals and engineers and marketing experts are not just coming here for that one job and that one startup, but you know, they know that there's a growing community here of a lot of opportunity, and that has been the case, and I think it'll continue to be the case.
Well, I got to tell you, time flies when you're having fun, and we're just about at the time that we need to end. So great conversation. If somebody wants to get in touch with you, what's the best way to be able to do that?
Well, although we're still in stealth, we have our website, attackiq.com, attackiq.com. And there's a support page that goes directly to our team, and then you can get in touch with me. We're very quick to respond. We're a startup, so we're agile, and you know, customers and those that get in touch with us are extremely important to us. So we get back to you extremely fast. But if you go to our website, that's the best way to contact us.
Well, it was great talking to you. It looks like you've got a great business going, and I wish you all the great success in the future.
Thank you very much, Jim.